Last week, as some of you know, I had the great privilege of getting away for a week with 19 other Episcopal priests from all over the country and a faculty of 7 priests, spiritual directors, there's a doctor and a therapist, and we all gathered on the coast of North Carolina at a beautiful retreat center called Trinity for a week of looking at our spiritual, our physical, and our financial health, as well as looking at our vocation at this moment in time, meaning God's call to us right now, and how our gifts and passions align with that call. It was a week enveloped in prayer, in worship, and I truly had one of the best weeks of my life. Now, this retreat is called Credo, and it actually developed because the church pension fund discovered that many, many Episcopal clergy, after 10 years or less, were burning out and leaving the ministry. And so they thought, this is going to be really important to put in place a structure in the form of a retreat where clergy can gather and reflect on their lives in ministry and do some really important assessment together and pray. And what we had to do at the end of the week, we actually were pretty heavily scheduled, and we had to come up with a plan and distinct goals for our life and ministry going forward. My time in North Carolina really made clear to me the importance of stepping back from life as usual, really the importance of having this retreat time. And I know that not everyone has the luxury of stepping away from their life and work for a week, and that's why this felt like a great privilege. But it really made me think, I'm always thinking about going on retreat, but that I need to be very intentional about scheduling retreats on my calendar so they actually happen. And I encourage you to do the same. Again, most of us can't get away for a week, but maybe 2 days or 3 days at House of Prayer in Collegeville or St. John's or even something like St. Jane House in North Minneapolis. I think it's so important to regularly step away from the flurry of activity in our lives and ask some important questions like, who am I, both inside and apart from my job? Am I living the life God is calling me to live? How can God make the greatest use of my gifts and passions, if that isn't already happening? How might God be calling me to change my life, or at least make some small alterations for my good and the good of all with whom I live and work? And finally, all these are related to the question, how might I participate in God's life more fully every day? Every moment. Now, we were much more heavily scheduled than I thought we were going to be, although all the sessions, all the small group time, all the things we had to do, our homework was incredibly important. But regardless, I made time every day to get on the beach. I love the beach. I'm from San Diego, and the beach is always a very healing and renewing place to me. And because of Hurricane Matthew, there were more shells on the beach than I had ever seen before. The shell, there almost wasn't any space on the beach without shells. And one day I was walking along and I saw this shell and I thought, it's me. It's a little discolored, a little worn from wear and tear, and it has a couple of holes in it. But it's still hanging in there, and it's still beautiful to God. Each of us at the retreat was dealing with some sort of brokenness, some way in which we had let the years and the constant activity wear us down and deform us. And toward the end of the week, as I mentioned earlier, we had to come up with three goals. And one of my goals, which might not be a surprise to you, was relax! Exclamation mark. I made a goal to stop this pattern I've been in my whole life of always striving, anticipating, living in the present, just working and working. And those are not bad things. They've worked well for me. But I desire to live in the present, to enjoy every moment of my relationship with God and others. Just so, I'm very excited about that goal. I've been living into it for a week now, and I have to tell you, I feel much more joyful and much lighter, almost giddy. All of us are broken or fractured in some way. Perhaps we're poor in spirit, captive to something, blind or oppressed in some way. As Jesus says in today's gospel, he's come to free us and all people from all these things, from everything that keeps us from flourishing and living the life that God desires for us. If we didn't struggle with something as a child, a teenager, or a young adult, life as currently configured in the West will try to break us. We may lose ourselves as we try to get into a top college or put our personal life or longings on hold as we build our career. Our spouse may suddenly decide to call it quits. Our beloved friend may develop cancer and die. Or our child may have autism or mental health issues and send us down a path in our life that we never anticipated. We might try to override the disturbing voices in our head with constant activity or wash our feelings of being overwhelmed, isolated, or lonely away with alcohol. Regardless, life, while a gift, is hard, and it can take a toll on all of us. I think it's common to find ourselves sometimes, and especially in the middle of our lives, as Dante tells us in the Inferno, in a dark wood, at a turning point. Time in this life may feel like it's running out, and we know we're not living the abundant life that God desires for us. And it's at this point that we can either soldier on or get on our knees. Getting on our knees involves humility, sometimes desperation, but it's the only way that God's light can shine through the cracks in our lives and begin to transform us. It's not like God hasn't been trying, but there's this little thing called free will, which allows us to oppose God's desire to heal us and to renew us and help us become God's new creation. And that healing power, that newness of life, is often referred to as salvation. In Japan, potters practice the art of kintsugi, or kintsugiroi, meaning golden joinery or golden repair. Kintsugi involves repairing broken pottery in a way that enhances the cracks by filling them with gold. The damage is thus not disguised. Each seam is honored as part of the pottery's history, something to be valued, not discarded. And the gold makes the vessel more beautiful. In this ancient method of repair, we can thus see all our challenges, deficits, weaknesses, and fractures, as in the words of Sam Portaro, not as trash to be discarded, but as possible treasure with the possibility of redemption. We can offer our fractures to God and share them whenever and wherever we feel safe. We don't need to disguise the damage, but to acknowledge and embrace each crack and seam as part of our history, valued, holy, and whole. Martin Luther once said that those who are baptized die daily to self and rise again into the new creation. And the same day I found the shell that I thought looked like me, I also found this beautiful shell. And as I think some of you know, the shell is an ancient Christian symbol for baptism. And the shell represents the new life God offers and desires for each one of us. In the silence that follows, I'd like to ask you to take some time to talk to God and then to listen, to ask God if you are living the life that God desires you to live. And if not, what is getting in the way? Amen.